For over the last few days, the last part of this last week, I got a chance to be in Dallas, Texas, at a pastor's conference there that I go to every year, and it's a C3 conference. It's an awesome, awesome conference. That's always a great refreshing for me. How many know that I need to be preached to sometimes too? You know that? So I kind of go there and get supercharged. I get about 8 sermons a day preached to me a day, and boy, just really feeding my spirit and giving back time for me to reflect about where we're going as a church body and where God is taking us. And in that time, I've asked our associate pastor to speak today, and he's going to continue in our series, Walking in Spiritual Authority. Do you love our associate pastor today? Pastor Matt, come this morning. Bless us with the word of the Lord. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. This life, I'll lose.
Time it is. I haven't even enjoyed the series so far that Pastor Gene has been speaking on spiritual authority. It's been great. Pastor Gene gave me the freedom to just kind of speak on whatever I wanted to this morning. He had already finished up what he was wanting to do on this. And I really felt like God was wanting me to just continue on this. So just real quickly, I just want to recap kind of what Pastor Gene has gone over. The first week, he asked two questions. The first one was, where do we get spiritual authority? And the second one was, how do we get spiritual authority? The answers are, spiritual authority only comes from God, and it's given, it's not earned. There's nothing you can do to earn that spiritual authority. And we get it by completely lining ourselves up with God's will for our life, by only doing what God tells us to do, by only saying what God tells us to say. And then last week, he asked the questions, how do we lose spiritual authority? We lose spiritual authority by removing ourselves from the covering that God has for us in our lives. And God has placed over us spiritual covering and spiritual authority in our lives. And when we line up with his will, when we do the things that God tells us to do, we are lining up and under that covering. But when we remove ourselves from that covering, when we do the things that we want to do and not the things that God wants us to do, when we sin, basically, is what that is, putting our own wants and desires ahead of God's wants and desires for our lives, we remove ourselves from that spiritual covering to where we are no longer covered by God and under his authority and grace in our lives. Then he asks, how do we use it? The whole point of spiritual authority, Paul says, is to build others up. It's not, God doesn't give us authority to press down, to keep people underneath us. He gives us authority to bring others with us along that we will line up under the authority of God. So this morning, what I'd like to do is, Pastor Gene's talked about how do we lose spiritual authority. I'd like to talk to you guys about the question, how do we keep spiritual authority? And if we lose it by sinning, how do we keep it? How do we keep that going? I want to look at Romans chapter 7, verses 15 to 24. I'm going to try to read this without stumbling. If you know these scriptures, you know that's not easy to do. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. On to that next slide there. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? This can be kind of a confusing scripture. And Paul's back and forth, he's illustrating that struggle that we all have with sin. I know what I want to do and what God wants me to do, but I kind of really want to do this. And so I go back and forth. I want to do this, but I end up doing this. And I don't want to do this, but I end up doing it anyways. And so it can be kind of confusing. So I found a short video here that kind of illustrates this and kind of puts it on our level for us.
Thank you. Okay, sit in that chair. All right, here's the deal. Marshmallow, for you. You can either wait, and I'll give you another one if you wait, or you can eat it now. When I come back, I'll give you another one, so then you'll have two. But stay in here and stay in the chair till I come back, okay?
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna go do something and then I'll come back.
It smells yummy. It smells really good. It's up to you. You can have it now or you can wait. Okay? I'll be back. Stay in the chair, okay? Okay.
We know what we want to do. What we don't want to do, we end up doing it anyways. That's tough. That's tough there. And so, as Pastor Gene had said, sin, doing what we want to do and not what God wants us to do, that's what removes us from the authority that God has for us in our lives. And so how do we keep that authority? How do we stay walking in that spiritual authority? We do it by not sinning. That's simple enough, right? Obviously not. That's what Paul says here. He's saying, you know, although I want to do good, evil's right there with me. It's the angel and demon on your shoulder thing, you know, that struggle that you go through every time. It's hard not to sin. Paul even says in Romans chapter 6 he says that we are slaves to sin. We become so entangled in our sin that it seems like we can't even make our own choices. Sin dictates what we do, who we hang around, what we talk like. See, in our human nature, we're enslaved to sin. It comes naturally to us. I have a 2-year-old son, Jonas, and Jonas loves the movies Cars, those Cars movies, and he's got, you know, like Lightning McQueen cars all over the place. His cousin was over this last weekend, and when his cousin Isaac came over and wanted to play with the Lightning McQueen car, what does every toddler in the world say? Mine! Now, I'm not saying my wife taught him that, but no, nobody teaches our kids that. They know that naturally. That's our nature to say, that's mine. I'm selfish. I'm jealous. I'm proud. And we let, if we're not careful, we let those things, our jealousy, our sin, our pride, our lust, dictate who we are. And it will enslave us. And by letting that stuff enslave us, we lose the authority that God has for us in our lives. We give that up to walk in freedom. We give up that freedom, and we end up walking in slavery. Luckily, there is a way to free us from that slavery. It's found in Romans chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. You are no longer slaves to sin. When you give your life to Christ, Paul says that the old man dies. The old man that was enslaved by his sin, by his lust, by his jealousy, by his pride, his greed, that man passes away. And a new man rises up in his place, a man that is free from that slavery, that is free in the grace that God has for us in our lives. We keep walking in the authority of God only by giving ourselves completely over to God. So this morning I want to talk to you for just a couple minutes and share just three quick thoughts on this, our power to overcome sin in our lives. The first one is this, is it's available to all. There's nothing that you do, nothing that, not who you are, not where you've been, where you're at right now in your life, there's nothing that disqualifies you from the authority of God and receiving that in your life. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, and then on to 13 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. Verse 13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. Pastor Gene talked about this last week. Everyone, you look that up in the Greek. My dad's a Greek teacher. He's here this morning. You look that up in the Greek, and what does that mean? Everyone. No big spiritual thing there. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. It's available to all people. It doesn't matter what your circumstance is. If you're in the ministry for very long or you're dealing with people who are trying to get their lives right, you hear a lot of different things. One of the things you hear all the time is, it's just a generational curse. Yeah. Yeah. My dad was an alcoholic, so I'm just cursed. I'm going to be an alcoholic. Or my grandpa did this, and so I'm just cursed. I'm going to repeat those same mistakes that he repeated. Or we make up these things that are psychological predispositions to sin. Well, that's just who I am. I'm just always going to have this struggle in my life. I'm always going to have to deal with this sin in my life. And that is baloney. I'll keep it clean. It's a lie. Because the Bible right here, Paul says that when you become a Christian, when you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, that old man dies. That old man that is bound by those generational curses is dead. That old man who was dealing with those problems is dead. And a new man who is free raises up in his place. There's nothing that disqualifies you from walking in the authority and walking in the power to overcome sin in your lives. Does that mean it's going to be easy? No. No. You're still going to be tempted. You're still going to have to deal with those thoughts. But walking in the authority of God will give us victory over temptation. As Christians, we have the power to overcome and have victory over temptations in our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says this, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. Notice Paul didn't say, you know, there may come a time, maybe, maybe not, that you may be tempted to do something that you shouldn't do. Possibly, but a lot of people, they go through life and that's not a problem. No, he says, the temptations in your life, it's a given. You are going to have temptations in your life, and they're no different from what others have experienced. The temptation isn't sin. Jesus was tempted, but Jesus didn't sin. So the temptation is not the sin. It's no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. God will always provide an out when you are tempted. I want you to stop and think about every time you've ever been tempted to do anything that you shouldn't do. Whether you've fallen or you've overcome, there's always been that moment, that instant when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and says, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't take another step. Don't make that decision. Don't say that. There's always that moment. And the trick is taking a hold of that moment. How do we grab a hold of that moment? How do we make sure that we take that out to do what God wants us to do? Pastor Gene read the scripture last week. James 4:7 says, submit to the Lord, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You can't do number two unless you've done the first thing. You can't resist the devil on your own unless you've submitted to God beforehand. If you try to resist the devil on your own, you're going to get ran over like a freight train. You're going to get hit and you're going to get hurt. So you have to submit to the Lord first. And then if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. So we have to resist. Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 says, he talks about the full armor of God and putting on the full armor of God. And he says throughout that entire time, stand firm. Stand your ground. Don't retreat. Don't give up. Stand firm and stand your ground. And then you will overcome the devil and his temptations and his attacks on your life. Don't give the devil any ground in your life. Don't give him a foothold, even one thing in your life. But it's not just a defensive thing. It's not just us standing there trying to ward off the attacks of the devil. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, Paul tells us this, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Now, what does that have to do with what we're talking about here this morning? Your thoughts, your mind, that's your battleground. That's where the thoughts come in, the thoughts of temptation, whatever it is. They're in your mind, and the devil will plant those seeds and those temptations in your mind. And what Paul is telling us here is that we have to take captive every thought. Every thought, good or evil, we grab a hold of it. And if it's an evil thought, if it's a temptation in your life, you torture that thought with the Word of God. You torture that thought until it lines up with the will of God in your life. If you have your sinful nature in your life, you bombard your sinful nature with biblical truths until you line yourself up with the will of God in your life. You have to go on the offensive sometimes. You have to get out there and say, I'm not going to allow myself to think on these things. Those things are not going to even enter my mind anymore. I am believing and speaking the Word of God in my life, and I am going to line up with the will of Christ for my life. There's one exception. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18 says, run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does, for sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. I want you to think about the story of Joseph when Potiphar's wife came and tried to seduce him, and she grabbed a hold of his coat. He tore out of that coat and took off running. You see, God understands, Paul understood, that sexual sin affects you in a different way. And that temptation, there's been studies on the brain. Your brain produces the same chemical with sexual sin as it does if you take heroin. It's addictive. It'll break you down. If you try to stand there and say, I'm going to stand firm and I'm going to overcome this temptation in my life, guess what? That sexual sin keeps hitting you and keeps hitting you and keeps hitting you. Eventually, you're going to break down and give in. So Paul says, run from sexual sin. Teenagers, those of you who are not married, do not put yourself in situations where you can mess up. Because if you constantly do it, you constantly put yourself in that situation, eventually you're going to mess up. Husbands and wives, do not put yourself in a situation where you can cheat on your spouse. Get out of there, run, avoid those situations, and get out of those situations. The truth is, even after all of this, we still fall. Even with all of this, we still have times when we fail and we mess up. Why is that? Why do we struggle with sin so much as Christians? I believe the simple answer to it is this, is that we put way too much emphasis on the negative. As a kid growing up in a Christian house, and even as an adult, a lot of times you're told, you know, as a Christian, you can't go out and get drunk. You can't go out and party and sleep around with whoever you want with. You can't do drugs. As a kid growing up in a more of a strict holiness type denomination, we were told, you know, you can't go to movies, you can't wear shorts, you can't go to the bowling alley, you can't have any fun. That's what it feels like. That's what you're told as Christians. You look at the Ten Commandments. What are the Ten Commandments? They're all negative. They all say, do not have any other gods before me. Do not take the Lord's name in vain. Do not steal. Do not commit adultery. Do not lie. It's negative, constantly negative, saying all the things that we're not allowed to do as Christians. Let me tell you what Paul says. Paul says that the whole point of the Ten Commandments, the law, the old covenant, was to show to us and prove to us that we can't live that life. That it is impossible for us to obey the Ten Commandments and to live a perfect life. The whole point of the whole point of the old covenant was to show us that we need a Savior. And when we accept that Savior, we are no longer slaves. We are free, free in grace to live the life that God has called us to. We have to overcome evil with good in our lives. Romans 6:14, Paul says this, sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. You are no longer governed by the law. Did you know that? Because the law was just there to show you that you can't do it. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. So we need to take our focus off of the negative. Take our focus off the all the things we can't do and put it on what we should do. When you're driving down the road and you see something off the side of the road that catches your eye and you start looking at it, if you look at it long enough, what's going to happen? You're going to go over that way. But if you keep your eye on the road that you're supposed to be on, if you keep your eye on the goal in front of you, you are going to go towards that goal. See, too many times we're concentrating on the negative, the things off, outside the will of God in our lives. And even though we're saying, I cannot cheat on my wife, 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 just like when you're driving a car, you say that and you focus on that enough, eventually you're swerving. But if you say, I love my wife and I'm going to go out of my way to show her how much I love her and how much she means to me today and every day in my life, guess what? You're going to stay on that straight road. You're going to stay on the path that God has laid before you in your life. As Christians, we have to quit focusing on the negative. We have to quit focusing on the things of evil and focus on the good things. You go back a verse, in verse 13, Paul says, do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Be so focused on doing what God has for you, doing what God wants you to do, only saying what He wants you to say, only doing what He wants you to do. Everything else goes into obscurity. Be focused on the right. So what is it? What is right? What brings glory to God? What is the one thing that God wants us to do more than anything else? Luckily for us, somebody asked Jesus that once. In Matthew, a teacher of the law comes to Jesus and he asks Jesus, okay, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? What's the one thing that we should do more than anything else? What's the one thing that we should concentrate on? And what was Jesus' response? It was love. Love. Love God. Love others. Love. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, after he spent a whole chapter telling us what love is, he says, let love be your highest goal. Because here's the secret. If you allow love to be your highest goal, if you let love dictate who you are and what you do, there's not going to be sin. If you let love for God and love for others dictate who you are and what you say and what you do, you will do no wrong. Walking in love sums up everything that God wants us to be. Why is that? John tells us God is love. God wants us to be holy as he is holy. You find that all throughout Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. We do that by walking in love. So all of us have a choice to make. You can enslave yourself to sin, or you can enslave yourself to love. That's your two choices. If you want to walk in the spiritual authority and the covering of God in your life, he requires that we become love slaves. Some of you guys thought Britney Spears came up with love slaves. That was God. If you want to walk in this authority, you want to walk in this covering, in this protection of God's authority in your life, you have to become a slave of love. You have to let love dictate what you say to your spouse. You have to let love dictate how you treat and discipline your kids. You have to let love dictate your relationship with God. When you walk in love and you get to the point where you have become a slave to love, sin is not in the picture anymore. And so you can walk constantly and keep the spiritual authority of God in your life by becoming a slave to love. Now, if you allow yourself to become a slave to sin, if you say, God, my desires are more important than your desires, you lose this covering. You lose this protection. Because let me tell you something, sin does not cover and does not protect you. Sin will beat you down. Sin will come in. If you allow yourself to become a slave to sin, sin will start to steal things from you. Sin will poison your relationships and rip those from you. Sin will steal your joy in life and your hope for tomorrow. Sin takes those away from you. Sin will take your self-worth and what you think about yourself and rip those off of you. And you're left standing there. Everything that you thought was important in your life, everything that you thought was good in your life, sin will steal those things from you. That's not where it ends, though. Sin will replace those things. It'll take your self-worth from you, and it'll put on you self-loathing. You'll hate the person that you've allowed yourself to become. You'll hate the decisions that you've made in your life that have led you down this road and left you here. Instead of hope and joy in your life, sin will put you in despair. You no longer have any hope. Sin will put you in a deep depression if you allow it. It will take the joy out of your life. And then because you've allowed sin to poison your relationships over everything, sin will drape you in loneliness. You went from feeling pretty good about yourself to being all alone, in despair, depression, hating who you've become, and you're beat down, and sin has enslaved you, and you're left there to die alone. And then what? Then what do you do? If you go back to Romans chapter 7, verses 24 was the last verse I read, and 25 is the next verse. Paul says, "Oh, what a wretched man I am. God, I'm here alone. God, I'm despairing. I don't know where else to turn, what else to do. God, I'm a wretched man. Who will save me from this life that is dominated by sin and death?" Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So when you cry out to Jesus in your time of despair and depression and loneliness and death in your life, when you cry out, it doesn't matter where you are. You could be in a bar somewhere. You could be in a drunken stupor somewhere. If you cry out to Jesus, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And you can cry out, "Jesus," and guess what? God will come into the midst of your sin, into the midst of that bar, and he will cover you again with his grace and his passion and his freedom. And not only that, God begins to take off the things in your life that sin has put on you. Your loneliness will be gone. Your despair and depression, God will take those away from you. Your self-loathing, your hatred of yourself, God takes those things away from you. And God will put on you instead what he thinks about you. God will clothe you in his worth. Some of you need to hear that this morning. Everybody else may think you're trash. Everybody else may not care for you at all. But God cares for you. In his eyes, you are worthy. God thinks so much of you that he sent his son to die for you. So don't believe the lies that Satan has tried to tell you. Don't believe the things that Satan has tried to put in your mind that you are worth nothing. To God, you are worth everything. And instead of despair and depression, God will put on you a new hope for your life. God will give you a new joy in your life that you've never experienced before, because it's not based on men or women. It's not based on money. It's not based on your financial status. It's based on his love for you. It's based on his love for your life. And so your joy and your hope is new and refreshed and is unshakable by the world's standards and the relationships that you thought you had lost because of your sin. The things that sin had stolen from you and taken from you, God will restore those to you. And not only that, he will bring in new relationships and new lives into your life to build you up instead of tear you down. That's living in spiritual authority. That's living as a slave to love. I've come to the conclusion in my life, personally in it, and as a minister and dealing with people, all of us are represented up here in one way or another. And I've come to find out it doesn't really matter if you're a Christian or not. I know Christians who have allowed themselves to become enslaved by a secret sin in their lives. And they let that sin rule who they are and what they've become. They may come to church every Sunday, and no one else may be able to tell, but God sees you. He sees you in your despair. He sees you in your hopelessness. It's Christians that are walking around like this right here, and they may not have sin that's ruling their lives. They may not have become enslaved to sin, but they have not become enslaved to love yet. And so they're missing out on everything that God has for you. You're missing out on the wonderful things. And that suit's nice and that shirt was okay, but it's not this. See, when you walk in love and you walk as a slave to love and you walk in the freedom and the grace and the spiritual authority that God has for you, you begin to walk with a new swagger. You begin to walk with a newfound confidence in your life. And that love that God is pouring into you, that you're allowing to pour into your life, you can't help but have it overflow to the people that you come in contact with. You can't help but grab somebody by the hand and say, God loves you. God wants you. You're not trash. There's people who are not Christians that may be here this morning. You don't feel like you're enslaved. You don't feel like you're walking around with sin enslaving you and dictating who you are. Proverbs says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. See, sin may feel like freedom for a season. You may feel, man, I'm free to do whatever I want. I can do whatever I want with whoever I want. It may feel like freedom for a moment, but in the end, Romans 6, verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death. And let me tell you something, sin will always come to collect. Sooner or later, whether you're walking around and feeling okay about yourself or not, sooner or later, you're going to be here. You're going to be alone. You're going to be depressed. You're going to be hurting. All you have to do is cry out. All you have to do is cry out the name of Jesus, and He will come and cover you. He will come and cover you with all of the wonderful things that He has for you in your life. Don't miss out. Don't miss living in the best that God has to offer you. This morning, as our musicians come, I want everybody to just bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment. Holy Spirit, I come to you. God, I ask you to search my heart. God, search the hearts of everyone who is here this morning. God, if I have allowed sin to be a master in my life in any way, shape, or form, no matter how big or how little I have given up, God, show me. God, I don't want to be a slave to sin. I want to be a slave to love, to walk in the fullness of everything that you have for me in my life. God, show me. Show me where I've failed. God, that I might not miss the things that you have for me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you can say, Matt, I am not a Christian. I have not given myself over to God in any way, shape, or form. And I'm at the end of my rope here. I don't know where else to turn. I don't know what else to do. And I've given up hope on anything good that God has for me. I'm here to tell you this morning, God still loves you. I'm here to tell you this morning that God places value on your life. All you have to do is cry out. So this morning, with no one else looking around, if that's you and you can say, I need to become a Christian, I just want you to raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass you. I don't want to put you on the spot. It's just me looking at you right now and God. If that's you this morning, I want you to raise your hand. Don't miss out. Don't miss out on the things that God has for you. So this morning, as Christians, I want you all to stand. As Christians, you may have been represented up here this morning. You may have a secret sin in your life. Let me tell you something. God has given you the power to overcome that sin in your life. God has given you victory over temptation in your life. Or you may not have decided to allow yourself to become completely and 100% sold out to God and to love. Let me tell you something. You do that, and God is going to bless you beyond measure. So this morning, what we're going to do, we're going to sing a song, and this song is all about victory. How many of you need victory in your life? How many of you want to become slaves of love? This morning, as we sing the song, I want to invite you, if you feel comfortable, come forward. Let's sing the song. Let's shout out to God and tell God that we're declaring victory in our lives over sin and over temptation.
As the enemy's been defeated, death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. Cause the enemy's been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. Cause the enemy has been defeated.
Come on!
Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. Cause the enemy's been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. your praises out. The enemy's found in the voice of trial.
Death couldn't hold you down.
Lift our voice in victory.
We're gonna thank your praises.
We lift your name up.
The enemy's found
in the voice of trial.
Death couldn't hold you down. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Shout unto God with the voice of praise. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. We lift your name up.
Come on.
We lift your name up. Shout unto God with the voice
oh,
of triumph.
Oh, no.
Shout
we
unto
worship.
God with the voice
we
of
worship.
Shout
we
unto God
your
with
name,
the voice
Mama.
Of triumph.
We
lift your name up.
Your name,
oh, we lift
your
name up. Shout
we
unto God with
your
the
name,
voice
Mama.
Of triumph. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. We lift your name up.
Shout unto God.
Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Shout unto God with the voice of praise.
We realize that this message, we hear a message preached like this, Pastor Matt, great word today for us. How many receive that word from the Lord? Do you receive that? Amen. Awesome, awesome. And we hear this message talked about, you know, overcoming sin in our life, and we're up here trying to praise the Lord. And the whole time, many of you here are thinking about the addiction maybe in your life. You're thinking about the failure in your life. You're thinking about the sin you committed this week. Maybe some of you, the sin you committed yesterday or this morning, you're thinking, man, I want to give God this praise, but there's something about not being able to do that because I just don't feel free, and I'm trying to get through this addiction in my life. You know, it's so important. This is such a good principle, Pastor Matt, as you were talking, because we just seen this. I don't want to use it for an example, not because of anything disrespectful, but I think we can learn from it. This past week, we just mourned the death of an icon, Whitney Houston, and she said, you know, yes, Jesus loves me, raised in the church, And there was a woman, I believe in God's grace, and I believe God's grace reaches her. I believe she loved the Lord with all of her heart, but she, somewhere along the line, she didn't understand submission to the Lord. And so she paid a hard death for the wages of what she went through. Can we just tell it how it is? That's not passing judgment. I believe God's grace is big for her. I believe she's free from addiction today. But, listen, but how sad it was that this icon couldn't come out and say, you know what? I've been living out from under God's authority. I'm stepping under God's authority. I'm breaking loose from addiction in my life. I'm breaking loose from sin in my life. How many more people would she have brought to heaven with her? How many more people, another generation, would she have impacted with the gospel? How many more people would she have impacted? You see, because when we live our life bound to sin, when we live our life bound to addiction, yes, there is grace for God, but we're not walking in the authority that God has destined for you and I to walk in. And so this is why it's important. So on the count of three, we're going to give God praise. And I don't want you to praise God, because you see, in the Old Testament, we see this principle done, that God says, send the praisers out first and praise me before the victory's ever won. And what you got to do is you got to quit trying to wait until you've got the victory to praise God. God, I'll praise you when I beat this addiction. God, I'll praise you when I stop this habit. God, I'll praise you when I get right with you and say, God, no. No, God. God, in my addiction, Lord, even so more do I need you. God, in my sin, Lord, even so more do I need you. God, in the state of who I am, I'm going to line myself up and say, God, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you by faith that, God, you are setting me free. By faith, I'm going to walk in the promise that Pastor Matt talked about today. By faith, I'm going to walk in the freedom. So on the count of three, we're going to give God the biggest praise we can give today. And when we do that, if you're here today, I want you, if you've been set free, I want you to let it known. If you're not set free, but you want to be set free, I want you to praise God with faith today, saying that I'm going to praise him by faith. So you're ready on the count of three. One, I want you to raise your voices. Two, I want you to clap your hands. You ready? Three, come on, let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord.
Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Shout unto God with the voice of praise. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Shout unto God with the voice of praise. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Shout unto God with the voice of praise.
Spiritual authority for your life. Amen. Listen, today, before you leave, let me remind you of a couple of things. First of all, next week, we're starting a brand new series called Who is the Holy Spirit? And so those of you who have questions about the Holy Spirit, it's relevant in this place in your life today. You're going to get some answers, okay? And so if you know people who have questions about the Holy Spirit, get them here. Say, man, our pastor's starting a new series. You want to hear on the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit for our life today? So we're going to start that next week. Before you leave today, if you're planning on going to the marriage retreat, make sure you sign up and let us know. Okay, God bless you very much. Thank you so much for being here. Shake someone's hands. Amen. It was great to be in God's house with you today.